Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. I am Jose Otero. I'm joined by Dustin Legarry.
Hi, Jose.
And this week, we are talking about Skolas and how this week I got to watch Sean and a bunch of folks on our live stream run it, talk about some of the changes that have been introduced to Skolas, which we may or may not have done on this show. Then we're going to be talking about Iron Banner.
Going on this week.
Some of the Iron Banner is here, and you have reasons to be talking about it. But we're going to go through a little bit of that. And lastly, community thoughts from last week. What do you want in The Taken King? We're going to read off some of the responses that we got in the comments. All right, so let's kick it off. Destin, Skolas today versus Skolas yesterday.
Yeah, so just after Sean played it, I kind of wanted to talk about it on the show. Okay. And I still haven't experienced the rebalanced Skolas. Mm. And what changed was they adjusted the difficulty of level 35. Basically, the burns that used to be on him have now been replaced with non-elemental burns.
That's right. And for context for folks at home, the burns specifically, right? You're already familiar with
them. Used to be
the
solar.
Solar was a big problem because you could have three people with three maxed out Gjallarhorns go
in. You just hop in, nuke them, and you're done.
40 seconds. Yeah. There is a video on YouTube that shows that Skolas could have been killed in 40 seconds.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. How I did it. Sadly. That's how I did it. Yeah.
You did it?
Mm-hmm.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
That's okay. No judgments here. All right, but looking at now how they've approached it, you're right. So burns are gone. And ultimately, it makes people play it as intended, right? And Skolas, in a lot of ways, level 35, you're talking about, at least my observation of it, being like, you are juggling more than any other encounter I feel in Destiny, right? Because there's three things happening. First, you have Skolas, who, if he is within, shooting distance, it's over.
You're done. Yeah.
Then you have the Devolving Essence, which pops up partway through the encounter, and it is basically a timer that's roughly, I believe, 30 seconds, and you have it's kind of like hot potato, where if at the end of 30 seconds you're still holding it, you're gone. You're out. You're dead to your team, and you have to pass it off to someone, but there's a catch, right? If I gave you the Devolving Essence, I can't take the Devolving Essence back. Someone else has to run and grab it from me.
So it forces three-man work, or three-person teamwork.
Yep.
Women play too.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, women play too.
And then actually, Sean played with a friend.
Yeah, Sid. Sid's so good on Twitch, who did really well. And Stan HTC.
I play with both those guys on Xbox. I've been playing on Xbox a little bit.
What?
I still got my 29. I got to do a lot of farming for marks to get past 30, but that's grindy. So
So I was very impressed by how, like, okay, now seeing Skolas in the wild as intended, like that. The communication, the teamwork, it really is unlike anything, I think, that has been done in the raid. You know, like, there's required teamwork in Atheon. There's required teamwork in the boss battle at Crota's End. Mm-hmm. But with Skolas, I feel like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And it's really cool just to see that executed in the right
way. I like
way.
It. It's like it's almost like a mini raid encounter. And mm-hmm. I like that it forces the three-person teamwork with the essence.
Yeah, you have to stay together.
Everything.
Yeah.
And yeah, and if you didn't check out Sean actually bidding it, he actually goes through the whole thing at level 35 in like, it's like 2 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then he got Gallahorn. No, he didn't. That's a lie.
Don't ruin it. I was rooting for him, man. I was like, oh, this would be so good to capture on the stream.
Yeah, and he didn't get it. And I was like, ha-ha, I didn't get it either, so you don't get to have it. Yeah. Sorry, that's just me being salty. I will point out one more thing just for folks with this Prison of Elders encounter is that in replacement of burns or just they've been there all along, the modifiers on the 35 is double the modifiers. There's usually just one modifier per round.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, they had to deal with specifically during the boss battle, Brawler and Juggler,
okay.
which Brawler is really helpful, right? Because nothing's more useful than if something gets too close, smacking it, even though melee captains, that doesn't always help. But with the Juggler, you definitely felt the thirst for the primary or the secondary ammo because there just wasn't much.
Hopefully they dropped a little bit more heavy, though, because they're shooting everything with their primary or secondary.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So in addition to that, his health was also reduced from 27,000 hit points to 15,000 to compensate for lack of burn. And that kind of makes me wonder. I'm like, I think he could probably still just Gallahorn the crap out of him and have the same desired result, you know?
So during Sean's run, they only had one Gallahorn. I have to wonder, but at least with the added burn, like, you know, modification, you can say, like, I don't know. I felt like it wasn't too long. They only wiped once, so I was pretty – it made me want to run it, in other words. Yeah.
Yeah, watching Sean play it with the new modifiers – like, I played it before all this was adjusted, so
I
it was a
it
pain.
Well.
It was very frustrating.
You came in very upset, I want to point out.
Yeah. I don't think I've played since that. Like, well, really? I still play, like, casually, but I haven't done Prison since then.
Okay.
Yeah, on my PlayStation character.
That's right.
On my PlayStation character. Yeah, I've been
playing
Xbox.
I like that. Yeah, I'm on the Xbox. That's how it goes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then, so also the reinforcement spawns are based on his health instead of a timer. So that's good. It kind of like you can deal with the adds and then just deal with Skolas.
Well, and that's more like how traditional bosses work in all the other encounters, right? It's based on the health or the state of health or how much health you've taken off versus like, hey, it's time for more to show up. It's like, no, it's not. Don't do this. Yeah. Okay. But,
We both seem to like the adjustments. Seeing Sean play it was great. He played it in colorblind mode. Good job, Sean.
Did he really?
Yeah. It was colorblind mode the whole time, and he didn't realize because he's colorblind.
Oh, but I'm not colorblind. How did I not notice?
You didn't notice that the radar was yellow? I noticed right away.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, I think I should change it to that.
Okay. Yeah. It just stood out more for you?
Do you play in colorblind mode?
I hope not. I wouldn't have known until right now. I don't know.
So I have a little bit of colorblindness, and I actually really like that they implemented that way back. And I might switch.
Okay.
Switch it up.
Okay, definitely, definitely. All right, I hear that. All
Let's talk about what people are doing this week.
Whew, man, what are you doing this week? That's a great question. Well, you are probably, hopefully, most likely, playing the Iron Banner. So you're going over to talk to Lord Saladin in order to get some sweet loots. Now, this is a
so
PvP-based
actually,
competition. You guys all know the drill, right?
Yeah, they actually had some problems early in the week.
Okay, what were those problems?
XP was not being awarded. So Bungie's fixed it since. Like they put out a post saying, hey, we fixed the Iron Banner problems. Our bad. But that was a little concerning. So don't worry about that. You can play. And the really exciting thing about this week is that Scory's Revenge, the pulse rifle, for the first time is available in Iron Banner.
Okay, so talk about that. Why is this exciting? Give folks
I believe it's the only Iron Banner weapon that you haven't been able to acquire up to this point.
Okay.
And we're looking at Planet Destiny right now. Hi, guys, if you're listening.
Hey, guys.
It looks like you want Feeding Frenzy or Outlaw on this guy when you do your rerolls.
Yep.
But or for your primary and then Flared Magwell, Speed Reload. You got Reactive and Secret Round, Counterbalance, Hidden Hand.
Yeah, and, a lot of good stuff. So this is just a very, very solid weapon you would recommend.
Well, with the Pulse Rifle bump.
Yep.
You know, people are going to want this. They're going to want to get a good roll on it, and we'll see how powerful it is as people begin acquiring it later in the week.
Why can't I find a great legendary PvP-focused hand cannon?
It's called Thorn.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. That's the only one. Because they have Timmer's Lash.
That's not Timmer's Lash.
Like I.
Whoa, no, Timmer's Lash is Timmer's really Lash? Good, Jose.
Okay, sell me on Timmer's Lash. Why do I need the Timmer's Lash?
It's like a poor man's Hawk Moon. Like, yeah.
But I have Hawk Moon.
Well, then use Hawk Moon.
Yeah, but you're right. I was asking for a legendary. No, you brought up an exotic.
Timmer's Lash is a very, very good pistol. You can get rolls on it that include Luck in the Chamber. Okay. You know, it has a fairly decent sized magazine with. Mm-hmm.
And get the extended mag.
With extended mag. Well, no, you don't. You probably wouldn't want to go with that. You'd probably want to go with one random round does bonus damage.
Mm-hmm. Luck in the Chamber. Yep.
Well, no, there's Luck in the Chamber and then there's Final Round.
Okay.
Yeah, so you want both of those. And I have a really good roll on my Timmer's Lash. For a long time there, it was one of the best pistols in the game.
When did you get your Timmer's Lash?
Last Iron Banner, or two Iron Banners ago.
Okay. Yeah. So you're telling me
I got helmet. Yeah, I got helmets and chests for all my characters, but now there's new helmets and chests for all the characters.
Yes.
Actually, they changed the aesthetic design of all the gear. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have Iron Banner 2.0 gear right now that you're searching for. And this week's are arms and chests.
Yes.
Yeah. And it looks pretty cool.
Okay.
What do you think of the redesign? Do you like it?
I do. I mean, it's just weird for me, right? Because
I don't like that it's another set of gear that I have to work for to get, and I have no space
for. Have no space. I was going to come back to that. The reason you were probably going to say, like, nope, not a fan.
I'm not.
Is because it comes up to vault space.
I don't have a lot of reason to play Iron Banner on PlayStation. You know, I don't have a lot of reason to play Destiny on PlayStation, but I think we're going to talk about that on next week.
Okay, that I really want to hear why you feel that way.
No, I've done everything.
No,
but we'll talk about
I like the design. I just I still struggle with reasons to stick with PvP. Like I'm such a PvE guy, and like I do get the appeal of PvP in Destiny, right? And in that, some of the gear looks fantastic or is very PvP centric. So of course you want to fight and try and get this stuff. Just like you would of any PvE weapon. But I still feel very much on the fence about PvP in Destiny as a whole. Like I don't really run through it as much as I probably should.
Iron Banner is a ton of fun, and because your power matters, it's really, really rewarding when you go through against other 32s or 34s now and you know, take them on head to head.
Yeah.
It's kinda like Trials of Osiris.
Yes.
But you know, you're with a team. A larger team, I should clarify.
Would you say, because Trials of Osiris, the scorecard really inputs the mentality of if you're not bringing the A game, you're getting nothing for it.
Yeah.
Right? You might get something on a lucky roll, but outside of that, you're really not.
Iron Banner, you can be a terrible player and still make progression.
Still get the hook
up. You can. Well, I don't think it's not Timmer's Lash this week. It's actually Jolder's Hammer and Scory's Revenge.
Yep.
Those are the two weapons.
Okay.
You can get Timmer's Lash as a random drop, and you know, the shotgun, etc. Yeah, or Gellion's Demise, whatever you feel like getting, randomly sometimes.
But, but
usually you get the terrible auto rifle.
You're not as punished as with Trials. Trials is very much like Trials, you're not good enough. Get out.
Yeah, Trials is rough. It's very tense. You're stressed out the whole time because you don't want to get that loss. You know, then you get it. You don't get to go to the lighthouse. Yeah. There's nothing like that in Iron Banner. So Iron Banner is kind of okay. You want to try with your powers on? Hop into Iron Banner. Have fun. If you do the work, you're going to be rewarded.
It amazes me how much the scorecard can change.
The scorecard's tied to, like, if you go to the lighthouse, you get a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a ton of really, really great stuff. I don't like that they took out the trials things, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they took out the currency or whatever they use for trials. I don't that.
You don't like that?
Why didn't they leave it in there? Like, I spent that to get this far. I should be able to get it back if I make it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I thought it was a strange decision.
You're talking about the passage coins?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took those out of the chest. If you go 9-0.
So you don't have a reason. You'd have to go back to regular PvP to get those coins is what you're saying.
Regular PvP, and I think they're random drops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we should play together. We should totally play Iron Banner together. Are you only playing on Xbox now?
So
only exclusively? This has nothing to do with the other podcast you're
Well, on. I mean, if I was going to play Iron Banner, I'd play on Xbox, and it's just because I have everything on PlayStation. There's no reason for me to – there's nothing I need on PlayStation.
Yeah.
There's the three exotics in Prison of Elders, and I hate Prison of Elders so much that I don't care.
See, my roommate, we were having a conversation about this yesterday, and he said, you know, you sound like you don't want to play on PlayStation. Why don't you put in some time on Xbox? We got some friends who would absolutely join you. And I was like, I guess.
What's
but,
your Xbox character at?
It's a Titan, and he's at 32 or 33.
Wow. I'm at 29, and I got stuck there because I got gear.
Yeah.
You know?
No, once House of Wolves came out, I mean, the rise through, like, the late 20s to early 30s was like, an instant. But my I guess the main problem I have with that is just that I have so much good stuff on PS4 that it feels weird to play the game without it. You know
yes,
what I mean? Like,
it
not
is.
Having, like, Fatebringer, not having, like, you know, my Black Hammer and all the other weapons that I love. Like, I'm just like, ugh. But if I get a Galahorn on Xbox, I'm out, bro. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're never
you don't have one on
PlayStation
yet, right?
I don't have one.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, I am 100% out. All right, anyway, enough on that. But, yep, you should be playing Iron Banner. You should be checking that out. Maybe we should play together. Maybe we should do this on Xbox, but I'm not at the right level, so we probably won't.
Sure.
All right, so our last segment this week is talking about the community thoughts from last week. So last week we had a very spirited conversation talking about
just kind of
things we want to see in the Taken King, now that we know more about what the Taken King is.
Go ahead. Yeah, so, you know, we talked about the exotics that we want, and I wanted story, and we kind of covered off on that. And we put the question out to you guys, what would you like to see? So this week we got a few answers. Let's start with Frosty Bobcat.
Lovely name.
His points were a new vast area with lots of loot and secret places.
Mm.
That sounds like the Dreadnought, where we're going to be going. They've already kind of said it's bigger than some of the areas on Venus.
Mm-hmm.
It's larger than the Cosmodrome.
What planet is it on?
It's on a giant ship in the sky.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also said, new exotics I can look forward to. I mean, that's almost a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a thing that all players are going to be looking for.
Yep, yep.
And finally, he wants fair rights to everyone, not just PlayStation, but Xbox too. I want more. He doesn't want any more of that PlayStation exclusive crap. How do you feel about that? The fact that PlayStation gets everything for a year. So, like, this is a reset. Xbox and PlayStation are now going to be on an even playing field when September 15th hits. But now it starts all over again for another year, and PlayStation users are going to have exclusive stuff.
It's definitely bad for the consumer. It's just from the perspective of a platform holder, it makes a lot of sense because you're trying to entice people to come to that platform.
Yeah,
you're trying to give them reasons why they should be playing Destiny on PlayStation and on Xbox. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I don't think it's fair, and I don't agree with it, but being someone who has Hawkmoon, or being someone who, when I had to make the purchase decision, right, what platform am I getting Destiny on? It did work. It was the reason I got it on PlayStation.
Me too.
And it's unfortunate, right? Because if you're the person who owns the other platform, you're
I would
stuck
have bought,
out waiting
I would,
for a year.
Yeah, I would have bought it on Xbox had I had the parity option, you know? Because that's where everybody was going to play. That's where Ryan was going to play. That's where Alfredo was going to play, you know?
No, I guess we don't live in a world, too, where, like, you can, as Microsoft, you can turn to Activision and Bungie and say, well, we want our own exclusive stuff for a year. So imagine if PlayStation had its own exclusive stuff and then Xbox
and then
had
Xbox
its own
had
exclusive
it. Stuff. Oh, wow, that'd be cool.
I just feel like that.
Well, not cool, but that would have been better for Xbox.
Yeah, at least then, you know, Xbox players wouldn't feel so left out with, like, hey, I don't have certain strikes. Although you're not missing out on the strikes, let me tell you. The PlayStation 4 exclusive strikes have been.
But the weapons, like Hawkmoon was really
have been
good.
A reason to. Yeah, no, fair enough.
Fourth Horseman is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate reality of the business. Like, I it's a shame, you know? Like, I hear you.
They're clearly in bed
Cat.
With Sony. Like, whatever Sony's offering them, they
well, Sony paid for that. I wouldn't be surprised if Sony did not absolutely pay and pitch and say.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if Sony paid for it, but I would not be surprised how many conversations led to, And look at, I mean, this is a side tangent, but PlayStation also has all the Call of Duty exclusive stuff right now as well.
Yeah.
And that took years.
The new home of Call of Duty. That's what they said during E3.
That took almost 10 years to happen, right?
That's a bold statement, just how it flipped. But I feel like people right now, people are slowly migrating back to Xbox, and Xbox is kind of like getting some steam, you know? They've made a lot of adjustments in the last year, and man, when they released that new UI...
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for that. The new one right now is so clunky.
Yeah, I need to
catch
up and see what that looks like. I have not, but I would definitely.
You're a Nintendo guy.
No, I play them all. I play them all. But yeah, I mostly talk about Nintendo. But anyway, Frosty Bobcat, I hear you, man. Like, it sucks. But at the end of the day, it's sort of the reality of this business. And who knows, maybe if there is money changing hands involved, like some of that leads to that stuff getting made in the first place, which is why we talked about the Red Bull thing last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, we don't know how much money got brought into this, that money helped make certain things for Destiny. Like, we don't know that. And mm-hmm. I'd like to see more when we find out. Are you drinking more Red Bull, by the way?
No. Somebody sent me a code. I haven't even redeemed it yet.
Really?
Yeah, I need to, just so that we can capture the footage later. But yeah.
I can't believe I just asked you, are you drinking more Red Bull?
No. No way.
I'm sorry, Dustin.
Do you want to read Epic Ninja Cowboy?
Yeah, Epic Ninja Cowboy, nice name also, writes in and says what he wants. The ability to augment some weapons with elementals.
Wouldn't that be cool?
So he's talking more specifically like the burns, right? Like being able to pick a weapon and say, I'm going to apply this burn to it.
Yeah, like you had materia in Final Fantasy VII, and you could mm-hmm. switch those around, and it would have different elemental effects. Something like that would be really, really neat in Destiny. Yeah. And I don't think that's an unreasonable request.
I wonder, like, that sounds like a cool experiment for the mm-hmm. Taken King for sure, right? Because it's a wave
change how
more
weapons work. What else we can? Yeah, right now we can randomly re-roll our weapons. Yeah. And I don't know if I love that system. Uh-huh. It's kind of cool, but it's kind of devalued every weapon in the game because there's no, like, Gallahorn anymore.
Well, let me ask you this. You know?
With the House of Wolves.
You play more PvP than I do, because mm-hmm. I can think about this and see the PvE implications to a degree, but would the ability to add an elemental to a weapon that didn't have one, would that shake the foundation, or change an elemental property mm-hmm. of a weapon, would that shake the foundation of PvP?
Maybe not an elemental, but what if you could add poison, like the Thorn, to something?
Thorn users. I hate them. Yeah.
Thorn is so good because you know you get those three hits and you know that guy's dead.
It's the only one that matters.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you're right. All right.
He also talks about the same thing with
go ahead. Read that one.
Yeah, he says the ability to augment some armor with elementals to provide element-based shields. Another really, really cool idea, like a void shield, an arc shield, or a solar shield. We see that when we fight the Cabal, when we fight the Fallen, they have elemental-based shields.
They do, but I think elemental-based shields should be tied to the class that you're rolling and not necessarily...
There is no elemental shield in the game right now for anybody.
No, I know, but are running around as a Blade Dancer, and that is supposed to be your arc damage, correct?
You mean your subclass should be tied to your subclass.
Let me use the right vernacular, but you're right. Yeah. It's a subclass. Like, why isn't that the way to do this? You know, if you switch between that and Golden Gun.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, but then your powers are tied to it also. Mm-hmm. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you're imbuing that character with that elemental property, mm-hmm. with that ability anyway, as part of their super. Why wouldn't it make sense to then have a shield? But that's that true. Said, I don't know how much does that rock the boat on PvP? How much does that rock the boat on PvE?
Yeah.
You know, like that's a hardcore change to ask. True. Whereas the weapon one, I think it could happen. That's just me thinking out loud. He also wrote about perks in multiplayer. For example, release some shanks to distract the enemy and control. Could even tie this to currently superfluous class gear.
That's
He's right in that class gear is mm-hmm. mostly cosmetic and thereby superfluous, right? You just mm-hmm. look like an almost fallen, but you're not quite a fallen.
Yeah.
But that said, the minute you, let's say you could release shanks to distract an enemy, how do you tell the difference between those shanks and yours? Like, one of my biggest problems
blue
with
and
Halo
green.
2.
Blue and green.
No.
Red and blue, sorry.
Halo 2's campaign, when you switched over to the Arbiter, mm-hmm. the biggest confusion point for me was I never knew who I was supposed to shoot.
I kept shooting him too.
Yeah, I shot my
your teammates.
Yeah, all the time. Because I was like, I can't quite tell what's
going on. I'd be like, my reticle's green. I'm not supposed to shoot you.
Don't shoot him. Don't. Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, it's been more than a decade since.
Yeah.
Like, briefly more than a decade since then. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like that's a challenge.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then, lastly, he writes interaction points, triggered events on multiplayer maps in general that aid one team if they reach them before the other.
Yeah, I think he just wants a little more diversity in multiplayer just in general. Mm-hmm. Like, just more going on. Because right now you run to a point, you stand on it, you shoot the other team. What if you had, like, explosions or levolutions?
Levolutions.
You know?
Where's that?
Battlefield.
No, but what about like Razor Hail? I guess that's what the immediate example came
something
to me,
like
right?
that.
Imagine
yeah.
you hit a switch and all of a sudden all over the map, like something, bad is
forcing
happening.
You to get into cover. I mean, that would be really interesting. I don't know how that could be implemented with the current engine. I feel like something that would have to be built from the ground up.
Yeah. This is Epic Ninja Cowboy came up with some epic asks for this thing.
Yeah, sure, Bungie, just go ahead and add that.
Just add this for me, please. Done. But that said, I think you do raise some interesting points. I just think that some of this stuff, like I do want to see more interaction points on a I don't know. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking of, Splatoon and how there's a PvP mode in their ranked battle called Rainmaker.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And no one knows what it is. But part of me is wondering, do you hit a switch and it just rains a color?
It probably neutralizes the zones.
Yeah, the colors that are on screen. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, that has nothing to do with Destiny. Sorry about that. All right. So you can read Brez for Prez.
Yeah, Brez for Prez. You talk about ghost skins. For example, a ghost skin that would allow you to scan for loot. I think that's a really good idea. Mm. Like you run to Mars, you're running around, you have to run all over the map. What if you just pop out your ghost and you hit up on your D-pad and then it scans the whole area and it's like, there's a chest here, there's Spirit Bloom here, go pick it up. Instead of running around like doing the loot run, you know?
Yeah, and ghost skins in general are just like, does this game even that's a have big them ad- outside
no.
of
well,
the...
Well, there's like one. There's a red one you can get, and then there's the default
at launch.
One.
Yeah, there was the one at launch. But I guess what I'm trying to point out here is that there is no way to really change what your ghost look like.
And I think they haven't done that just because you never see your ghost ever.
Except when you're leaving the planet or summoning your sparrow or...
Hey, you pop... So you see him for 5 seconds.
Opening a door
you
or... See him... I could keep going. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but you don't sit there looking at your ghost.
No, you don't.
You know, it's just a minor thing. I would rather see them work on... skins for your bikes. Like, you got a bike you really like.
Yeah. Well, I think part of what he's talking about, too, maybe the skins or the fact that you don't see your ghost often ties a little into this ask earlier about base shields. Maybe your ghost is part of the shield. Maybe that's who you give the elemental property to, and
maybe
that affects it. Right now, ghosts don't do anything, is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make.
Like, I know what you're saying.
Outside of, like, seeing them.
And there's
every once
all
in a while.
Those slots for ghost skins and stuff like that. You have,
that's
like, all
I'm
that
saying.
Inventory space. Let me put some weapons in there. Yeah. You know? I need the space, man. I'm not using it for my ghosts.
Justin, I need the space, Legiri.
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me throw some guns in the, or some armor in the vehicle slots.
Yep. No, that's fine.
I don't need my 15, you know, bikes from the raid.
That's fair.
He also talks about environmental hazards. We kind of went over that already.
Or PvP?
Oh, probably both.
Okay.
I think he was talking about, like, you're running through a PvE, and then you get weighed down where you can't jump. You know, stuff like that.
Oh, kind of like running through the darkness in Crota.
Yeah. Those were some of the examples he gave.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, that'd be interesting. And then Sparrow upgrades and modifications. Yeah, let us tinker around with our Sparrows. Like, what's up with that? We can buy the stuff from Xur right now, the different cores that give us a different stream behind us and add some features. But for the most part, our bikes are pretty standard, and there's not a lot we can do with them.
Not a lot of personality on the bike.
Same thing with ships. Yeah. Like, they talked about ship schematics that you could get. I was like, oh, I'm going to get to customize a ship and build it. No, you get a schematic, you turn it in, and then you get a ship. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Like, it's a missed opportunity.
No, and especially in a game where you're trying to present people with, like, hey, you are the driver behind all the customization. You know, become legend, whatever your tagline was. Like, you do want to give people the ability to have control over some of that stuff and come up with, okay, what are some trade-offs? Like, maybe this sparrow is slower, but it can take more damage. Or maybe this sparrow is faster. I love the Vex Timebreaker.
Yeah.
But there's nothing else like it in the game. And it's like, imagine.
Why would you want any other bike? Like, maybe the one from Crota, but they're the same. Yeah.
But does it look like something from Crota, the bike
it's
from Crota?
Black, I think.
Okay. Well, and there you go, right? There's the problem. Like, I do wish that some of that was in there. No, I hear that.
Speaking of ships, Link 3200 also said ship interactivity. Like, why can't I hang out on my ship with my crew and just have an area to do something?
Yeah.
You know?
One of my favorite questions from back when we had the first hands-on for Destiny, remember way, way back before this game came out, I flew out to Bungie, and my favorite question in the audience during the group Q&A was from a good friend of mine, Famitsu, who said, is there a place where you can hang out and just chill, you know, or dance, like a space disco.
Yeah.
That's how he said it. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was like,
that's
you
a
know,
tower.
That's a really, yeah. There isn't like, okay, there's that area where sometimes Xur shows up. Like,
yeah.
It's the closest thing to it. And they have that little Easter
egg
where you hit the button.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little cantina looking space. Yeah. But I think he was looking for something more like the first club in Mass Effect or something, right?
Oh,
where
yeah.
When you first get there,
that's
it's
funny.
Just all these flashing lights and you almost want to break out the glow sticks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was some charm and some personality to that. There's some world building to that. That cantina space underneath the tower, like, I just don't feel it has. It's very mm-hmm. subdued versus
yeah.
something like that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's it, Jose. That's it for this
week. Wow, we did it. Another episode in the books. Oh, my God. And I was here. Where was Fran Mirabella?
He's on vacation.
Is he really?
Oh, we joked. Fran and I joked that I wouldn't even mention it, and then we didn't.
Oh, really?
Fran's okay. on vacation. Fran, you're probably not listening to this because you're on vacation, but he'll be back soon. Yeah.
He probably listens to the show while he does his hair.
Probably. Probably.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That is your episode of Fireteam Chat for the week of July 1st.
Check out our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group, Fireteam Chat, that you can join.
Yeah.
The link's in the article. I always feature my comment pointing to the article where you can get all of our links.
Yeah.
We also have a store where you can buy Fireteam Chat shirts.
Yeah.
Go.ign.com/store. And
I'm going to check this URL while
that's
you keep
what it
talking.
Is. That's what it is. I looked it up for the show.
Okay.
You can verify.
Okay,
but our Fireteam Chat Facebook group leader bought one, and they look really good.
Yes.
They're really cool looking.
No, they are really cool looking.
If that's your thing, you can check it out. You don't have mm-hmm. to. It's just letting you know about it.
And heads are gonna roll because every other show on this site has a shirt except Nintendo Voice Chat. You heard it here.
Yeah.
No, but more importantly,
I
do want to say to people at home, if you came out to IGN's house party past weekend. Thank you so much, not just for coming, but you stopped us like dead wherever you can find us to talk about either the show or how
Destiny.
You felt about Destiny.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so rad to meet so many people mm-hmm. who really still like this game and who
Agreed.
Really have things to say about this game.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention this. At E3, someone actually walked by me and said, you need to start Guardians out. And I was like, maybe.
That's funny.
But seriously, no, thank you so much for supporting us and for supporting our show. And as Destin said, you can check out our Facebook group.
Speaking of that, Lewis had a question for the show that we're going to hit next week.
Okay, what's the question?
No, next week.
Oh, next week?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to tease.
Well, so he knows that I didn't forget about him.
Okay, so Lewis, Destin has made big promises. Please let him know if he does not deliver. Mm-hmm. All right, well, there you have it, folks. That is your episode of Fireteam Chat for the week of July 1st. And
until next time, until Guardians out.
There you go.
Come on, Jose.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.